Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Great I Am Radio, raising the vibration on everyday life matters with heart and soul. Here's your host, Rebecca Johns.
Good afternoon, everyone. Good afternoon, and welcome. Welcome to Great I Am Radio. I am your host, Rebecca Johns. As many of you know, certified as a holistic health practitioner, a purpose coach by trade, and an ordained minister of the gospel. My life is dedicated to helping people activate what I call the Great I Am. And, you know, please call it whatever you call it. But it comes from 1 John 4:4 in the Holy Bible that says, "My beloved children, you are overcomers because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." And that he that is in you is a spirit, an essence, an energy. And it is an extension, from my perspective, an extension of the Creator. That we get to be that Creator breath incarnate. And that with that comes responsibility, but also access to the miraculous. And that miraculous isn't meant for one thing, one place, one time. If you read the pages of 1 Corinthians 12, it says the gifts of the Spirit were given by one Spirit, although diverse in gift, diverse ministries, religions, one Lord, one source, and gifts given by Spirit to help mankind. So this essence that's within us isn't just here to keep physical bodies sustained. It's not just as simple as saying it's a battery pack. It's truly the essence within us that allows us to access that higher vibration, that greater being, that metaphysical, that spiritual being. And for those of us who take that seriously and want to not just sit with that, but harness it, be good stewards of it, stand in the authority of it, live by the will of it, by the power of it, whether you do that through religion or philosophy, whether you do that through lifestyle or nutrition, whether you do that through commerce or romance, you and I have this delicious gift of being the Creator incarnate. And to use that power with consciousness is really how we stand in a word that my guest today has used a million times as I've worked with her, and that is access to sovereignty, supreme power or authority over one's own life, sovereignty, the authority to govern self, sovereignty. It is what is meant in some religious folds when they say human beings have been given dominion over this earth and what is on it. That does not mean to use power at casual will. It means to understand our jurisdiction, to understand the supremacy of human being. We are not just beings who are sentient. The animal kingdom is sentient. They feel. They can have thoughts. We see animals using sign language. They can generate. The thing is that you and I have the mind of God available to us, the consciousness. And to use that power well, to use it wisely, to use it in each of the areas of our lives such that we can manifest the great I am life is really what I believe we are here to exercise. And it's a path that I've been practicing for my adult life and love to share with others. And today's guest, she and I have got an awesome, rich, delicious history. We've been in business with one another in the place of commerce and marketplace through the direct sales and industry, the retail, social retail industry, but also in outreach. Together we served on a council of a grassroots organization that reached moms and dads and aunts and uncles and grandparents and caregivers and professionals and educators and asked them to consider how lifestyle was impacting them and their families and tribes and organizations mentally, emotionally, physically, and spiritually. We were together at the head of a charge asking people to wake up, if you will, as consumers. And so it's my pleasure to have her here today. She is a radiant living priestess, if that doesn't say it all. She supports the spiritual, emotional, physical, and financial transformation of healthy women and families living in a toxic world. She has an amazing testimony that we're going to hear today, as she herself has recovered from breast cancer, and she did so naturally. She has shared her story generously through social media, through classes, through workshops, and through interviews of this nature with people who are interested in this type of knowledge and her firsthand experience. She is an amazing leader in her circles and is a loving mom to two teenage boys. She's supported countless other moms in their own journeys of healing and happiness, and it's my privilege to welcome my sister friend to the airwaves today. Help me welcome Stephanie Dawn. Welcome to the show, Stephanie. Good morning.
Hi, Rebecca. Thank you so much for having me. This is wonderful.
Absolutely. My pleasure, sister. I am not going to burn daylight or let grass grow under our feet. I want to get right to it. You are notorious for yes, you can mentality. You have a mindset that once it is decided, yes, I can, you really do.
Yeah.
And I'd like you to talk about the gall you have to be someone, why it became important to you. Before we get into the healing story that you have, why did it become important to you to become someone in the world who stood for for personal sovereignty, not just for yourself, but as a leader and activator of that for other people and communities through a lot of different means, like for-profit, money, business, marketplace, but also ministry, spirituality, healing. What brought you to this? Where did all this come from as a passion and your own personal purpose?
Mm-hmm. Beautiful question. Thank you. Well, so I've always felt like I was born sort of the eternal optimist, you know. I always sort of had this rosy disposition around what was possible in life, and didn't really sort of truly come into that experience as an adult until I found my own spiritual path with the Agape International Spiritual Center and Reverend Michael Beckwith as a founder.
Yes.
So Reverend Michael.
I attended there briefly in my little stint of California. I know exactly what you're talking about.
Okay, right on. Yeah, so that place, that man, and all the practitioners and ministers that served there absolutely changed my life. It's then that really that eternal optimist found her legs to sort of figure out how to be that eternal optimist in the world and actually get paid for it, okay? So hear me out. So you know, most people go through 4 years of practitioner training at Agape to become a licensed spiritual practitioner, which allows you to counsel people, minister to them. You're not a minister, but you can minister to them spiritually and counsel them. And so I took 6 years, not four. And through my matriculation of my studies and working with other practitioners, really to heal my own misconceptions about, beliefs about myself that were wrong and incorrect. Because as we're young and we grow and become adults, we fall into agreement with ideas of ourselves that are incorrect. So I had a lot of remedying to do at Agape. Because not everyone loves my rosy disposition, Rebecca, and not everyone knew how to relate to the person that I was and the energy that I brought forward. And so Reverend Michael always said, Rebecca, he said, don't become a practitioner for you. Become a practitioner to serve others. And so it was from that place, really, that my servant leadership was born. And it was, just an incredible 6 years of diving deeply into God. Who is God? Who is God as me? How can I help other people understand themselves as God, as the light, as love? And, the basis of that those teachings is the science of mind, which you must be familiar with. Ernest Holmes is the author of that book. From the seminal book from the 1920s, and we studied many, many, many different authors and New Thought, agents of New Thought. As I became a practitioner, and I still read those books. I was just looking at some of them the other day on my bookshelf. They're not going anywhere. Those books will always be with me. They're foundational to the woman that I am today, and my ability to really stand strong in that sovereign place, as you were saying.
That is fantastic. And thank you for the 6 years that you gave to that community.
Well, so it's 6 years of training, Rebecca, to become a practitioner, but 13 years as a licensed spiritual practitioner after 6 years. Oh, yeah, no, I was all in for many years. I raised my children in that church, and I showed up, in various capacities in the various ministries at Agape. It was a big, big part of my life for a long time.
Yeah, and for those of you who are listening, feel free to look into the Agape Center in California. Reverend Michael Beckwith facilitates leadership there. I remember going, a friend of mine took me as a guest, and I went several times. I remember one of the messages from Reverend Beckwith that really, really impacted me. He's an amazing guy to share space with, first of all. You can't lose hearing him teach. He's just really a blessing in the world. But he said that peace was not simply the absence of war, but the presence of love.
Mm-hmm.
And those words, I mean, it must have been, 2001, 2002. Mm-hmm. Those words, they just emblazed themselves in me.
Mm-hmm.
And so I know firsthand the space that you were in and what you held up there. And that's amazing, and truly, truly acknowledge you. Now, you said something interesting. You said you found a way to take this gift, if you will, within you and monetize it. And I know that for some people, that's like dirty talk. I teach a class that I've taught for years called the Spiritual Gifts Workshop, Serving the Kingdom Through Everyday Life. Because a lot of times people think if you don't have some big movement, like, I'm not Mother Teresa, therefore my gifts must not mean much, or I don't have any spiritual gifts. And I'm just here to tell y'all, if you got breath in you, you've got the light and the salt in you. You have gifts. And you've probably been using them. That's why you got in trouble for talking too much as a kid, like I did. And, you know, lo and behold, at 50 years old, I get paid to run my mouth, right? So gifts are there. You found a way to monetize yours. Talk to us about what that meant, what you found yourself doing in the marketplace, because you're still offering, you still are in the marketplace using tremendous gifts of life experience, but also your spiritual and attunement and prowess to help other people. Can you talk to us a little bit about what that has been and is now?
Yeah. So in 2001, it's interesting that that's when you were there, because that's when I graduated.
Okay.
Yeah, that's when I graduated as a practitioner, proudly graduated, and knew immediately that I wanted to have a practice, a counseling practice, because I'd received so much from my counselors throughout the years who'd helped me reconcile, you know, who I was as a young adult and really get to the core of who I am so that I could shine more brightly, right? Because when we fall in agreement with untruth, I think our light dims, it really dims. And so I sort of like, you know, peel back the onion with all these incredible practitioners. Because when you're matriculating through to become a practitioner, you have to see practitioners monthly. And I love that they made that mandatory. And so I knew I wanted to give back. I knew I wanted to have a counseling practice. And so I sort of like, you know, put up my shingle and I'm like, I'm available. And I started having, seeing regular clients at my home. Even while I was breastfeeding Jasper or Rebecca, I was seeing clients. And so, And because I was showing up at the church in such a profound way, like it was not hard to get clients. And then I started offering workshops, regular spiritual workshops about all kinds of different things. You know, attracting your beloved, because I had attracted my mate, utilizing what I'd learned at Agape. And I was also an artist and I was selling my art. And so I was working in workshops with artists who wanted to, you know, be their creative selves and make money. It was always tied to, you know, being who you're here to be, my workshops, you know. And then finally, the workshop that sort of catapulted me into the stratosphere was the Sacred Birth Workshop. And that's when I took what Reverend Michael was teaching and what the science of mind teaches, and I applied it to birth to help women and families to create a sacred birth. And that message of the sanctity of birth had me speaking in conferences in Europe. It had me speaking in numerous radio interviews, telesummits, you know, workshops all over the place. And I was just, I was that voice, you know, sharing the amazing journey that birth is and how important it is to regard it as sacred and why and what does that mean and how to have a sacred birth and et cetera, et cetera. So that was really sort of the trajectory of what happened for me after I graduated as a practitioner, but it didn't end there. You know, the workshops was just, the sacred birth workshops was just the starting point. What elevated after that was the Sacred Birth Mentor Program, and that's when I started working with birth professionals all over the world. And so that was really, you know, for about 4 years, I taught the Sacred Birth Mentor Program, and I taught people my work. You know, I taught them sacred birth work. I taught midwives and doulas and lactation consultants and yoga teachers, et cetera, about what does it mean to have a sacred birth. And so there was a lot of, again, there was a lot of, in order for a birth practitioner to enter that holy space that is birth, they have to deal with their own birth trauma, you know. They have to do their own personal development work. And so I did a lot of that with, you know, in addition to the other things that I taught in that experience, but there was a lot of personal development work, and that's still where I really think I get a lot of satisfaction helping people understand their own magnificence to this day. You know, like, it's really seminal to the work that I do.
Well, and you're so good at it.
Thank you.
And I think it's genuinely because of a philosophy that you hold that you've already spoken to today. And it's one that you and I share. And I say it this way, and I know you say it almost exactly the same, but that God is in me, working through me as me.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. I hear you say that, God as me.
Mm-hmm.
And that is not a context, a perspective that even some of the most religious people will hold. If anything, sometimes religious doctrine really holds us in a place of being sinners born of iniquity and not highlighting the Creator incarnate that we are.
Mm-hmm.
So I appreciate and really want to highlight for our listeners that this work with Stephanie, wherever you might engage her, whether it's in the birthing side, in the momming side, I'll just put momming in a whole category. but also as in the healing capacity, that I believe that's really what has given you your power, your sustainability, and your consistency of messaging. It's given mm-hmm. you what you strive for and grow in, deal with yourself through every day. And it's just been consistent. I've watched you for years. And you have consistently maintained that message and that aim for yourself to live mm-hmm. up to embody, mm-hmm. to personify. And therefore, it's where you come from when you work with people, mm-hmm. no matter who those persons are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I'm grateful that you said today that, you know, when you put yourself in a place of service, whatever it is, to lead, you're then going to have to confront that within yourself. And mm-hmm. life gives us lots of opportunities for that. And so I'd like to bring us to kind of our hot topic today that you came on to share about, and that's specifically the topic and your personal experience of mm-hmm. dealing with cancer and mm-hmm. addressing it through a natural pathway, and not necessarily what is commercially, culturally, you know, we've been kind of enculturated with how to deal with cancer allopathically, but you took a different route, which is no doubt another great reflection of the sovereignty and your perspective of the relationship between your soul and your body. So would you mind kind of walking us through how that came to be and what you did about it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I received a breast cancer diagnosis, stage 3, tumors in both breasts, 2 different types of cancer, in the spring of 2019. And I was shocked, as you know. I was, you know, thought I was mm-hmm. healthy. And I'd been, you know, functioning in our superfoods world for several years, about three or 4 years. And so I thought I was fine, you know, so I was really shocked. And so I did end up going to find an oncologist in Los Angeles because that's what you do. You go and you talk to an oncologist. I mean, interestingly, I'd gone into urgent care for migraines, Rebecca, one day, which was extraordinary for me. I'd had migraines for about a month. I'm like, this is really odd. Like, these are out of the blue. And when I spoke to the urgent care doctor, I'd had a lesion in my breast. And he took one look at it. We need to get you to an oncologist immediately. That's how that all shook down. And I was like, okay, You know, tail between my legs. All right, fine. So I went and saw the oncologist and, you know, got biopsied in both breasts and in my armpit, under my arm, because they said it had, or they thought it might have metastasized based on their testing. And so I did all that. And within that period of time, I started looking at alternative centers to heal the appearance of cancer in the body. There was already a part of me that knew that I could have dominion over this. Okay? So I don't think you become a spiritual practitioner for as many years as I did and put the gnarly, negative, you know, stuff behind you. Do that when you're faced with a medical diagnosis. So plus, you know, what you have to understand in terms of me is that I've had a healthy distrust of allopathy since my childhood. Mm-hmm. I had epilepsy as a child for 7 years, Rebecca, and I'd taken their anti-seizure drugs for 7 years that did not help me not have seizures, let that be known, okay? Apparently, according to the doctor, the epilepsy came out of nowhere, Rebecca. It just appeared, and bam, a very healthy child has epilepsy out of nowhere. Well, what we know now is there was mercury in the vaccines up in Canada in the 70s, and that those very well could have triggered epileptic seizing within me. So I had petit mal, grand mal seizures for 7 years and, you know, was full on in the allopathic world, getting all the tests and all the EEGs and all that stuff for many years, lots of blood drawn, and I would faint, and oh my God, it was horrible. Anyway, so I knew that it was almost like I was participating in this drama with the whole epilepsy thing. I was like, something just doesn't feel right here. And so as a young woman, I think I was just like, when I left Canada and, you know, the medical system up there, which, you know, I was paying $3 a month to get cared for by medicine up in Canada as a young woman. Okay. Wow. And then I came down to the United States and I'm like, oh my God, how much it costs. Like, it's all privatized, right? And I'm like, this is unbelievable. I'm gonna go down, you know, it was economics actually that had me going down the alternative path to wellness and health. And, you know, lo and behold, I'm living in California, the land of fruits and nuts. Like, it wasn't hard to go down that road. You know, there was everybody and their dog is doing something healthy and natural in California. So I became a student of all the things, you know, massage, yoga, chiropractic, acupuncture, organic food, supplements, you know, all of that, Reiki, energy work, la, 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 la. And so when I got the cancer diagnosis, I'm like, oh, well, there's got to be something else I can do besides chemotherapy, radiation, and surgery. Like, that world is not for me at all. And so I basically told the oncologist that. I said, you know, I think I'm going to go to Mexico, because my family and I had decided that Hope for Cancer in Tijuana, Mexico was where we wanted to go. It's run by an amazing American doctor, Dr. Antonio Jimenez. He runs it in Tijuana because you can't do all those healing treatments in the United States. Because I don't even want to go down that road right now. but
we'll have you back. We'll do that on another episode.
Yeah, seriously.
This is about the miracle of you, but we will pull back the curtain in another episode for sure.
Right.
For sure.
That's why I said we might need a part two, because there's so many different tangents, right? And so... And I have a lot to say about all of it. But coming back to me, I made the decision with my family. My family was very supportive of my path. that was really important to me. Others, you know, quietly, I think they thought that I was crazy. But I truly believed that I could handle this naturally, that the terrain in my body had become such that cancer could thrive in my body. And, you know, and so there was a part of me that was like, you know that saying, you know, get thee behind me, Satan. Well, I don't really like to use that terminology, but I was sort of like, get thee behind me, cancer. Like, you do not have power over me.
Yep.
You do not have dominion over me. I do not identify as I have cancer. The appearance of cancer has shown up in my body, and it's because of a certain terrain caused by the food that I was eating, the lifestyle that I was leading, and the relationship that I was in that, you know, in retrospect was very toxic. And so I made the change. I made the decision to go to Hope for Cancer, do their year-long program, which involved 3 incredible visits there in Tijuana with their beautiful staff, and talk about, you know, a place of love. I mean, I walked in there and I felt like I was being held by God.
Wow.
Everywhere I had a nurse in the morning and a nurse in the evening, my own dedicated nurse. I was being fed beautiful, delicious, gourmet organic food 3 times a day by all these practitioners that would help me with all my treatments all day long. I did detox treatments all day long for 3 weeks. And I left there, you know, doing really, really good. And I left there with, you know, protocols to be done at home and diets to be, you know, eaten at home and carried on, you know. And here we are 4 years later, and I'm alive to tell the tale.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Now,
gratefully so.
Yes, amen. I am grateful for the breath that remains in that awesome skin sack of yours, sister, for sure. For sure. For sure. Love your soul. So glad it's still here in the skin sack.
Thank you. I love you.
Now, thank you. Thank you very much. Now, Stephanie and I play with each other very much, but I'm sure that you all know it is a lot of love over here.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you said that as you were going through your healing process naturally, that your family was supportive, which is such a blessing and so much more that sometimes other people have, because they're, you know, breaking away from whatever normal mold their tribe has used, and they look like the weirdo. But you said you may have looked like you were crazy to other people. You didn't look like you were crazy to me, because I'm grateful to have walked alongside of you, even when we weren't as close as we were once we served together. You know, there was time that I was just watching you from a distance. You didn't ever occur to me as crazy. You occurred to me as someone who was 100% believing what she was saying and seeing, and that everything that you did was very, very deliberate. There are a couple of things that I would really love for you to talk about, that I know were some of your practices that you've shared about very publicly, which I also really appreciate over the years, Stephanie, that you've really allowed your life to be an open book for exploration and discovery and learning and teaching for others as well as yourself. I think that's part of how you heal too, because you're not holding anything, you know, like that whole, you know, devil get behind me, or cancer get behind me, or anxiety get behind me, or poverty get behind me, lack get behind, anything get behind me. Right.
Anything, all of it.
You've been such an embodiment of that. But there were a couple of things that I think that would really bless our listening audience. And I know that if any of them are interested, and we're going to talk about that in a minute, if they want to reach out to you for any one-on-one coaching, support, healing sessions, et cetera, any of the things that you offer, we're going to talk about how they can do that in a minute. But can you talk to me about a few things? And we didn't even talk about this ahead of time. I did not clear these questions with you. So if you'd like to plead the fifth, you can. But like I said, the things that you've been open about previously, there are three things I'd like you to talk about. I'd like you to talk about prayer practices that you have.
Mm-hmm.
I'm hoping you will talk about your water fast.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm wondering if you would also talk about superfoods and nutrition and that terrain that you talk about in your work.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Beautiful.
Are you open?
Thank you.
Can you touch those three for us?
I can touch those three. Yeah. So I'm sitting here with a glass of water in front of me. So my prayer, it's how I access spirit, really. That and my meditation practice. The affirmative prayer that is taught with becoming a science of mind practitioner is incredibly powerful. And, you know, it's something that, it's one of my superpowers, to be honest with you, my ability to pray and hold truth and to know God is with me. Has been enormously important all these years. I honestly don't know where I would be without agape. You know, it's that important to me in terms of the foundation of my spirituality. And so affirmative prayer, you know, spiritual mind treatment, these are sort of the more formal names for the way that I pray, Rebecca. And it really, it's speaking out and praying in such a way, just as you were stating moments ago, you know, affirming that God as me is what's happening here, that God is using me, that God is loving me, God is healing me, you know, that God and I are one. My ability to anchor that has been really important for myself, but I'll be honest with you, Rebecca, reaching out to prayer warriors to pray with me has also been enormously important on this journey, because sometimes it is hard for us to know the truth about ourselves and all that I just mentioned. And we do need to lean into others. And so I have prayer partners, prayer warriors that I lean into often to hold the truth for me when I can't see it for myself. So,
I have to say that, as I shared, Stephanie and I have been affiliated through business. We found each other through business, but what connected in us was very spiritual.
Mm-hmm.
And when we were functioning and leading this grassroots organization I was mentioning earlier, she was the chair and I was one of the people on the council that served under her leadership. And I mean, y'all who are listening, y'all know me, okay? I'm sassy, I'm saucy, I'm savvy. I can come up with stuff. It's not about can I come up with and market and an angle and sell. It's not about that. It's am I being mindful in such a way that I can hear who I'm serving and authentically offer what they need through my practices, services, and products. And I found that same spirit in Stephanie. And so we didn't just meet. You and I did not just meet and have meetings. You and I got together and prayed.
Yeah.
And those are some of my most cherished memories with you, Stephanie Dawn, is sitting with you. I'm getting verklempt. I'm going to use your words because they're not only perfect, but they're literally at the heart of what I do today and why it is that anybody who's interested in doing work with me does work with me. And that is that together we held truth in prayer.
Mm-hmm.
Together we were doing spiritual mind treatment.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in the Aramaic, and people that listen to my platform, they hear me talk about this, not quite here on The Great I Am. It's not necessarily something I'm always talking about, but over on TikTok where I'm teaching the Aramaic Semitic lens on Holy Scripture, in the ancient Aramaic, the word for prayer, slotha, comes from the root word sla, which means to set a trap. And so when we pray slotha, the context is that we are setting a trap for the mind of God, that God's mind would be our own mind, that the mind, the thought, the perspective, the view, the context that God sees and hears and does and speaks to generate through us would be from that highest and utmost place.
Yeah.
And that is the privilege of prayer, the opportunity that prayer is. It is not a complaint session. It is not a beg-a-thon. It is not the pleading of whatever, because you have to be some sort of beggar spiritually because you're not enough already. It is truly, you know, we are commissioned together by spirit into these skin sacks, and there are vehicles. It's how we do earthly things. It's how we're having this conversation right now. We couldn't be doing a radio show if we weren't in skin sacks. And so this is the, you know, these are the avatars, the chess pieces that we're in to do this earthly terrain, and the opportunity to move these pieces tuned into the highest frequency possible is the name of the game. And for those of you who might wonder, you know, how might spiritual mind treatment or how might working with Stephanie be, and I don't know, and I'm not sure, let me tell you from firsthand experience, it's worth the experience. You won't be the same afterward, and there will be something left with you to take away as a practice to continue ministering and serving yourself so that that sovereignty on an individual basis stays intact.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Stephanie. Thank you. Water.
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 Yeah.
Since we just talked about flowing in spirit, let's talk about flowing with the water.
Yeah.
You had like major breakthrough with water. Like you and water went on a journey and you and water changed life together. And like you came back very watery. You were very water, like you flowed, like something altered in you, and it can feel it still present. Like it changed you on a forever basis. Can you please guide us through that a little bit, please?
Yeah. So water fasting is ancient. It's, you know, if you go back to, you know, older European countries, they're well aware of water fasting to heal the body. When the body is ill, we really want to really look at what are the inputs, right? Like we don't want to perpetuate the illness. And what can happen when we remove food from the body is the body starts to clean up the crap within it. The body is a miracle. And the body will eat up tumors when you're water fasting. The body will eat up cysts. The body will reverse the illness with water fasting.
Ooh.
So I had done several different types of water fasting before I went to Costa Rica for my really long one. And I really liked how I felt. The body goes into ketosis, which is high fat burning. And it also goes into autophagy, which means that sort of the good cells eat the bad cells, the cancer cells in the body. You can imagine Pac-Man, right? It's like the good cells are eating the bad cells. And so that is, I made the decision to go to Costa Rica and do a 21-day water fast at a wellness center there. So I was being monitored every single day by the founder of the wellness center, and there were nurses there that were taking all my vitals every day and monitoring my progress. And I loved every single aspect of the experience. I didn't, you know, some people have a really, really, really hard time with water fasting. Some of them don't have reserves to release. Like, you're going to lose fat, right? You lose about a pound a day. And if people go in there already quite lean, water fasting is very hard for them. But I had probably like 40 pounds of reserves, and I ended up losing like 25 pounds. I could have lost another 20, and I would still would have been, you know, looking good. So it's very, very healing, water fasting. And I thoroughly enjoyed every single moment of my day. What's really interesting about that experience is that, like, you basically arrive there and you're only drinking water. So, you know, if you had any snacks that you brought or anything in your travel, like, everything goes into the trash. They take it. Everything is removed. It's just water, baby. And so, so what I loved about that, Rebecca, is that you know how much time we spend thinking about food, procuring food, preparing food, and eating food. Okay, a lot of time every day. And if we have kids, right, in the families to feed, it's even more. So what I loved about being there is there was none of that going on. There was no procuring food. There was no preparing food. There was no eating food. I was thinking about food. after a few days, the hunger pangs go away and the water fills you up. And you're just full on water all day long, because the body can live on water, you know. Well, the body can live on air too. Dry fasting is a thing too, but you have to practice caution with dry fasting. And you definitely want to do all your research. So I've done a lot of research. You know, there's a lot on YouTube about water fasting, and the name of the Wellness Center is Tanglewood, Tanglewood Wellness Center, and that's where I went, and I actually refer people there all the time now. I have an affiliate code for that center now, and so you can ask me for that if you're interested. But I truly believe in the power of removing food. You can do a water fast. You can do a coconut water fast. You can do a juice fast. You know, there's so many different types of fasting that you can do. I'm now going into, I'm now going into a high vegan raw diet for the next 90 days because I've gotten a little bit lazy since 2021, Rebecca, and I'm not feeling as good in my body as I want to feel. And I know that the high raw vegan pathway is the way. I learned so much about that 4 years ago because I worked with a practitioner, a regenerative detox practitioner. After I left Hope for Cancer, I didn't feel like the diet was extreme enough for me. I wanted to go more extreme. And I went into high raw vegan and a lot of herbs. So I'm going back down that path right now. And I think, you know, currently I live in the Pacific Northwest, but if I live, well, I will be. My intention is to move to the tropics, and I want to live somewhere like Costa Rica or Hawaii Island, something like that, where I can live in the warmth and be eating mostly fruit for the day. I just feel like that's what my body wants and needs, and in order for it to be healthy. And everybody's different. You know, like, my path is not everyone's path. But the founder of the founder of the Wellness Center, Rebecca, he believes that that's all we should be eating, no matter where we live, no matter what climate we live in, that we should all be eating fruit all the time. And I'm like, yeah, I don't agree with that. So I have, you know, I'm grateful how much I learned about fruit and the body and what water fasting does for the body while I was there. He would lecture every morning at 11 a.m. And I just learned so much. And yes, I care. I love to share. I don't share so much on my personal profile on Facebook anymore. I share more so in my Healing Cancer Naturally group on Facebook, just sort of keep it more of a contained, sacred container for folks that really want to learn about detox and learn about how to heal your body naturally, because we can. And so I'm going to segue right into the terrain question, if I may. Would that be all right?
Yes, absolutely. We've got about 4 more minutes, so you do your thing, girl.
Okay, cool. So, you know, when you are water fasting or when you are just eating fruit or juicing or whatever, you are changing the terrain of your body in a major way. Major way. You're creating alkalinity and you're removing acidosis from the body. And so acidosis, you know, what I've learned on this cancer journey and working in my superfoods community and all the research that I've done is that acidosis creates inflammation and inflammation creates disease. And so my diet prior to the cancer diagnosis, I would swing like a pendulum, Rebecca. I would do our healthy, clean eating, cleansing, and then I'd go back to a lot of really bad habits, a lot of sugar, a lot of gluten, a lot of fried food, cow dairy, alcohol, coffee, et cetera, pork, you name it, I was eating it. And so, and then I'd go back and forth, back and forth. And so with the cancer diagnosis, it was like a massive stop sign. Stephanie, stop doing this to your body. You really need to, you know, be that clean eater in order to heal. And that wasn't the only change that I made. I made many changes. And I moved to the Pacific Northwest to live with my family. I left Los Angeles. I left a very toxic marriage. And, you know, I made a lot of really hard choices. But changing the terrain of my body created a robust immune system, so much so that when I went back to Hope for Cancer and they tested me, they're like, you have the immune system of a 16-year-old. Like, you are doing so well. Yeah. And I did that because of the more drastic changes that I made by going into an all-fruit vegan diet. And I'm not saying that, you know, fruit eating and veganism is the way. I'm saying if you're really sick, it could be the way to help you remedy that sickness. It was for me. And it continues to be the answer, you know. It's not easy for me because I'm not vegan, Rebecca, and I'm not raw. So I love eating food. I love eating cooked food, and I love eating non-vegan food. And so it's not like this is a cakewalk for me. This is not easy, but it's what I need to do, I know, in order to feel better in my body. So I truly believe, you know, if you are curious about terrain, what you're going to see is there's all kinds of debate right now around germ theory and terrain theory. And, you know, I'm not going to get into exactly what that is right now, but what I will say is that my investigation, my research into terrain theory is what I think has created, you know, my ability to turn a cancer stage 3 cancer diagnosis around and to really pay attention to a robust immune system. Without a robust immune system, we become weak and we can, you know, catch all manner of illness. And so, and interestingly, I was living through all that during COVID, Rebecca, you know, so I wasn't fearful at all because of all the work that I was putting into creating health and wellness and a healthy immune system. So the body, when it's given the right inputs, and I don't just mean food, but I mean the right, you know, spiritual practice, the right relationships, the right work environment, the right choices are being made that honor and regard the body as holy and sacred temple, you know, of spirit, we can create health and we can turn a very serious diagnosis around cancer and beyond. So that's really what I want to close out with is this, you know, we have the power to heal ourselves. And we do it with God, and we do it with all kinds of choices that you're really not going to see in allopathy. So there's another way is possible, and I feel like I'm the embodiment of that other way, which is why I like to be so public about it all, is to help people, let them know you have choices.
Yes. Well, and you said something so important that I would really love to make sure everyone hears walking away from this conversation today. You're doing this 90-day raw vegan process because it is what heals your body, and you know it. and it's what's mm-hmm. been affirmed and confirmed for you to do, but you're not raw and you're not vegan, right? You said, I'm not vegan, I'm not raw, but I'm doing this because it is what is best for me right now. And mm-hmm. if I could ask the audience to hear anything from you, it's stop living from what you're not. It's okay that you're not an athlete. You can still be active. It's okay that you're not vegan. You can still get lots of fresh fruits and veggies in. Mm-hmm. You don't have to be the master teacher, all be it of everything, to do something. Just do mm-hmm. it. Do it because it's what's best for you. Do it because it is going to bless the vessel that holds the great I am within you. If you have gained value from this conversation, I really hope you will reach out and be part of the Stephanie Dawn conversation and community. You can, Steph, your group on Facebook, because I'm part of it, is Healing Cancer Naturally Support Group. You'll see a beautiful yeah. Facebook banner with my sister friend's awesome face, and it says Healing Cancer Naturally with Stephanie Dawn. So please, I'm going to actually take that link and put it over on Great I Am Radio Facebook page with this interview link. So y'all can just go over and request membership to her community. And to reach Stephanie, go to StephanieDawn.com. Yes, StephanieDawn.com if they want to reach out to you.
Yes, ma'am. That's the way. Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, listen, you and I could slice this conversation up. I mean, we talked about going on the road, girl. We were about to do a thing. We might still have to do
never
a thing.
Never say never.
Never say never. Never say never. So,
I love
yeah,
you.
Listen. I love you, girl. I love you. We will have you back. We will slice up this and serve it up. Tapa style, little appetizer conversations. We're going to make a whole meal out of little conversations here and there. Stephanie, God bless you, sister. I am so grateful that you are, that you exist, and in a time that I exist also, so that we can know each other. Thank you so much for sharing yourself so generously today, and we really will have you back. Any final words before we go?
Oh, just thank you for the opportunity. You know, if it blesses one person and they make a change, then that's just beautiful. So I appreciate you.
Listen.
I love. Yeah, you're an amazing stand for what's possible with God by our sides and within us and all around us. Yep.
Yes, girl. Yes, it's my honor. And I want you to know there's a thread on Facebook Messenger right now going, you've definitely touched a minimum of one person's life. They are all talking about water fasting right now.
Oh, very cool.
So, definitely we'll make sure that we have you back again. God bless you. I'll talk to you soon.
Okay, bye now. Bye-bye.
Take care, sister. Peace. Oh, bless her soul. Stephanie Dawn at StephanieDawn.com. Radiant living priestess. I love that. I love that. No denying what's there. No denying what's there. And listen, if you would like to tap into the discipline, right? She talked about the years, 6 years of training to serve for 13. Don't be afraid to be disciplined, beloveds. Get into classes, get into sessions, get into books and study. Discipline yourself. Self-control is a fruit of the Spirit. You'll really see the Spirit work in you, through you, as you. As you give yourself to things that call you greater. You can visit our website at living, L-I-V-I-N-G, GodsPromises.com to schedule one-on-one sessions with me, be part of the classes that I facilitate, or simply receive spiritual support. We'd love to have you join our community, Activating Your Great I Am on Facebook, and I look forward to seeing you next time. Peace.